Good morning. How are you today? I'm glad that you're here at Christ Church of Orlando. There are about five of you that are really good, and there are about five of you not sure yet. I'm glad you braved the cold. Yes. Here's what I say about it. When I lived in Pittsburgh, people didn't go to church if it snowed or had ice, you know? In North Carolina, people... They don't go to church if it rains really bad. Here in Florida, they don't go to church if it's just overcast. You know, it's like they stay home from church. It's like, ooh, it's cold. It's too cold outside. I'm like, I'm afraid that the Lord's going to return on a cold day. And people are like, we'd love to go with you, Jesus, but it's just too cold if you'll come back on a warmer day. We're glad that you're here today. And today we're continuing on in the study of Advent and kind of taking a look at preparing our hearts for Christmas. John the Baptist, he said to those that were around him, he said that he was a voice crying in the wilderness saying, prepare your heart for the Lord, prepare a path straight to God. And so during this holiday season, I would love for us to just contemplate not just about Christmas Day and not just about the gifts and the presents and the lights and all of the things, the food and the trappings that go with all of that, but I'd love for us to spend some time and talk about what it takes really for us to have Christmas in our heart, for us to have Christ in our heart, for us to be lying to God. And today we're going to take a look at the Christmas story, and I would like for you to turn with me to Matthew, the first chapter, and I'm going to take a moment, I'm going to read this whole first portion, and then I'm going to take a few minutes and talk to you about what I think, maybe some observation I think are great about this story maybe you hadn't seen before. Matthew, the first chapter, starting in the 18th verse. Now, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded to him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to the son, and she gave him the name Jesus. Today, I want to talk to you for a few moments about the aspect of Christmas that I think most of us don't pay attention to. There's a thread, there's a storyline that happens here that almost no one talks about. When we look at the manger, we see the manger and we see the shepherds and we see the wise men, even though, in case you didn't know this, really the wise men probably didn't show up for maybe 2 years after the birth of Jesus. But we see the shepherds around the manger and we see the wise men and we see the angel. And then we see right there at the center of the nativity, we see the baby Jesus and his mom and dad, Mary and Joseph. And much is said about all of those characters, but there's very little that's actually said about one of the most notable characters in this story, and that is the life of Joseph. There's very little that's said about him, and I think that there's something that could be said about him that maybe all of us could learn a lesson, and that is that Joseph walked in courageous obedience to God. He walked in courageous obedience to God. He was a man. There's not like a lot of, in fact, did you know, there's no words recorded of Joseph in the Bible. None. There are no words of his recorded. There are instructions to him, but no words that are recorded. And yet he's a man of great courage. Now, when I think about courage, generally the people that I think about in courage is I think about the men who and women who ran into Pulse while there was an active shooter in there. And really the documents kind of show us that within a few moments of that that attack taking place, there were actually first responders on site. It takes courage to be the first responders when there's an active shooter. And then I've watched the movies recently of the World Trade Center and heard the stories of the heroes that ran into the building that they knew that a plane had flown into. And that there were already scores of lives that were dead, and they had no idea what the future was going to look like, but they were running into a burning, collapsing building. And I think of people of great courage when I do that. I think of the men and women who serve in the military, and I love the courage that they have. They do their duty. They do what they're supposed to do for us as Americans. And the first responders, they do what they're trained to do. And it's right for us to honor them. But here in this story, this is not that kind of courage. It's not somebody running into a burning building. It's not somebody running in to do some great feat. It's actually somebody who just chooses to be obedient to God. Somebody who just chooses to live their life for God. And in this story, we often miss that he's really a hero here. That the nativity, it would be incomplete without the character of Joseph. There's no lines of his recorded. There's not a lot said about him even after the life of Jesus when Jesus is a teenager. Yet it was the courage of Joseph that made this whole story possible. The Bible is really clear that if you go back and you read this passage, and I just want you to take a look at it with me again in verse number 22, all this took place, and it's talking about the angel visiting Mary and the angel visiting Joseph, and it says, all this took place to fulfill what the prophet of the Lord had said, that without Joseph being a part of this story, that it would have been impossible for that prophecy. Joseph was a key player in that prophecy. And Joseph was a man who God entrusted his own son. Joseph was a man that God entrusted his own son to hold him, to nurture him, to show him what it means to be a man. God entrusted his own son to be protected by this man. In fact, within a few days of the birth of Jesus, there was a threat on his life. And it was Joseph who took and took Jesus to Egypt, and he protected him there. And throughout his life, we see that Joseph showed up over and over again. God selected this man to protect this child. In most dangerous circumstances, he was courageous. The second half of this passage, and we pay attention to the angels, and we pay attention to Mary and this virgin birth, but we forget that there's something so significant about somebody who will simply live their life in courageous obedience to God. I just want to read this passage again. This is the birth of Jesus, how it came about. His Mary mother was pledged to be married to Joseph. There are some parts of this story that seem to be a little bit confusing. Matthew says here that they were pledged to be married. Now, this is kind of the way their custom went. There first of all, would be a commitment, an engagement. They would be committed by their parents many times before they were even old enough to make a commitment. Parents would get together and they would say, okay, our son's going to marry your daughter. And that would be the way that they would live their lives. Now, it wasn't a contract. It was just a commitment. They could walk away from it, but most of the time they didn't. They fulfilled the family expectation. So there was this engagement. The second thing that took place was where we don't use very much, but it was a betrothal. It's where they would go public when they were old enough to say, okay, now we are indeed going to get married. And at this point, at this place, we're going to become husband and wife. But right now we're walking towards that day. I don't know if I know they didn't have a Bed Bath and Beyond to register at, but I'm sure that there were things that they did to prepare themselves for that day during that time of betrothal. And then there was the actual marriage, the consummation of the marriage, when they would live together and they would start their family. But it was during this time of betrothal that the angel of the Lord speaks to Mary, and then the angel of the Lord speaks to Joseph. Now imagine in the process of all of this, regardless of what you understand and regardless of what's taken place, when you're betrothed to somebody and you're making the plans, that all of a sudden the young lady that you're with, the young lady that you're going to spend the rest of your life, you're committed to, that she shows up and now there's an announcement that she's going to have a baby. Imagine the confusion in that on his part. This is something that had never taken place before. This is something that you couldn't explain. This is something you could hardly understand because there was no point of reference about this. God was going to give birth through this woman and this child would be the savior of the earth. He had to have felt betrayed. He had to have felt confused, maybe even a little bit angry. Because, see, it's not described there, but Joseph was a human. He was a man. His heart was involved in this. And in the process of all of that, he had to continue to walk to fulfill God's plan in his life. And he had contemplated that he would divorce her quietly, that he would divorce her privately so it wouldn't completely shame. But you have to think about the community. There would be shame regardless of how this went down. Like, human nature hasn't changed. People haven't changed. A young lady shows up and she's expecting. People whisper and they gossip and they say what they have to say. And in those days, it would have been all the greater. And so Joseph was like, let's maybe try to keep this as private as we can. Let's keep this as quiet as we can. And I'll just set her aside and divorce her privately. And the angel of the Lord shows up and says, no, that's not the plan that God has for you. There's another plan, and in this plan, it's going to take some courage. In this plan, it's going to take you just really kind of manning up, and it might not have been what you dreamed. In fact, you're going to have to set your dreams aside. You're going to have to set your desires aside, and you're going to have to walk according to God's plan. And Joseph was courageous and obedient to God. There are a few things that I'd like for you to write down, if you would. There's a place in your bulletin for you to write these down. Joseph had a call of God. God sent an angel and there was an announcement. He was selected long before the angel showed up. There was a design. There was a purpose in this story. Long before the angel showed up to talk to Mary, long before the angel showed up to talk to Joseph, there was a purpose. There was an intention. There was a call of God on his life. And here's the first thing I'd like for you to write down. There's a cost for the call of God on your life. There's a cost for the call of God on your life. You see, your life isn't random. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. There's something that he wants you to do in this world. There are some designs and some intentions. Long before you ever got to this place, long before you even arrived, the Bible says that before you were born, there were works of righteousness that he had designed for you before you were even born. And in this story, we see that God has a design and there's a plan, and yet it's going to cost Joseph his own plans. It's going to cost Joseph his own heart. It's going to maybe cost him some of his own wishes and some of his own intentions. There is a cost to everything worthwhile. There's a cost to live a life. I've said this many times, that life is a series of exchange. In order for you to become an adult, you have to exchange childhood. In order for you to get married, you have to exchange the single life. In order for you to become educated and get a college degree, you have to exchange some money, and you have to exchange some independence, and you have to exchange all that free time and discipline yourself to study. And let me just take a moment and say, I just want to encourage all of our young people. I think all of our young people ought to go to college, and it's an inconvenient thing. It's an inconvenient thing to get a trade. If college isn't in the design for you, then to get a trade. But there's a cost to it. And a lot of times it seems like we don't want to face the cost, and we don't want to face the cost of college or even of a trade school and do something that kind of pulls us up to the next level. But can I just say, even the cost makes it worth it? I read a study recently, and this is an interesting study that just talks about the cost of college and the cost of a trade school. For those who are just get a GED, just get a high school education, and they live their life in a high school education, the average high school graduate makes $27,000 a year. The average college graduate or trade school graduate makes $53,000 a year. And so, yeah, I know it takes a lot of effort, it takes a lot of energy, it takes a lot of commitment to do that, but let me just tell you, the cost brings a benefit. And so there's a cost to things in life. And now let me just say, if you didn't do that, God still has a great plan for your life. Can somebody say amen? You know, like, God still has a plan for your life, but regardless of what the cost is, there's always, regardless of what the cost is, when there's a call in your life, God is going to walk you through some circumstance. It might be difficult. It might not feel like you really want to do that. But if you do it, if you pursue it, you're going to see that the cost pays off. It's not just in that aspect of your life. If you have a call of God on your life and you do, if God's calling you to a higher level, it might cost you some friendships. It might cost you some of the influences around you. It might cost you a boyfriend. It might cost you a girlfriend. It might cost you some Friday nights of being alone. It might cost you some friendships that you thought were going to be with you for the rest of your life, and they were going to stand by you. And then, yet when you decide that you're going to follow God and follow God's call on your life and pursue Him, they might not be with you. That's exactly what happens when you follow God. There's a cost to everything, but the cost of following God has a great payoff to it. Here's what Galatians, the first chapter, says in the 10th verse. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or God? Or am I seeking the favor of men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be the servant of God. Courageous obedience means that you're going to make your life count by following the will of God for your life. Here's the second thing I'd like for you to write down, and that is that character is more important than reputation. Character is more important than reputation. I've heard it said that reputation is who people think you are. Character is who you really are. Character is who people think you are, and reputation is who people think you are. Character, it's the inside. I was listening to somebody on the on television recently, and it was somebody out of Hollywood, and they were saying that everybody thinks that this person, this public persona of me, is who I really am, and that, like, that's not me at all. That's just the public relations image of me. And I'm like, for those of us who live our life for God, there's one of us. Like that, the character that we have on the inside becomes the reputation of who we are. And so let me just say, reputation, many people, they just see an outward exposure. They just see somebody on the outside. But it's the character on the inside that counts. Because just a facade, there's no substance to that. But when you have character down on the inside, it can make a huge difference in the world around you. And there are a lot of people that maybe there are some mistakes that you made and you wonder, like, my character might be flawed at this point. But the truth is, it's never too late to make a turn to God. It's never too late to make a turn to Him and let Him set your life on the right course. It doesn't matter, even if it doesn't look like it was your plan or what you wanted to do in your life. God has a plan for you, and it's a good plan. Here, this passage says in verse number 19, it says that Joseph was a righteous man, that he was a man that followed God. He chose to do the right things. He chose to follow God. And the measure of his life was greater because he followed God's plan for his life. There's never a greater measure of a person's life than when they choose to do the right stuff. Joseph was a man of moral courage. It's a theme in the New Testament. It's a theme in the Bible that our lives are changed. Our lives are different when we trust Jesus. It makes our lives filled with the kind of character that changes this world. Here's what it says in verse number 19, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. It changed the course of history. It changed the course of their lives, and the story had a different outcome. It takes courage to live a life. It takes courage to live a life that's different from the people around you. It takes courage to live a life that's different from culture. It takes courage to wake up and be different. It takes courage to talk different, to live different, to walk different. It takes courage to do that. In this story, and here's the thing that I observe about Joseph in this story is Joseph isn't high profile. There's no word spoken. He's almost the silent story of Christmas. And the most courageous people I know are not the ones that are grabbing for the headlines. The most courageous people that I know, they're not the ones that are trying to get everybody's attention. The most courageous people that I know are the people that have to wake up in the face of adversity, in the face of difficult circumstances, and do the right thing again tomorrow. That they wake up and they live their life right. That they wake up when people have rejected them and they choose to love just the same. That takes courage. When somebody has walked away from them and they choose that they're still going to be vulnerable, it takes courage. When your friends reject you and they walk away from you because you choose to follow God, it takes courage to continue to follow God. The people who have real courage are silent stories. And I look around this room and there are people who have silent stories of courage. People who have lost family members and lost loved ones. People who have lost people to death, and yet, even though they walk through tragedy, they choose that tomorrow they're going to wake up and they're going to walk in faith and they're still going to believe God and they're still going to do the right things. That even when things that are difficult in their life and it seems as though that all things are against them, they choose that still just tomorrow they're going to do the right stuff. That takes courage. takes courage. So I'm challenging you. Don't just live by reputation, but live by courage. Courage is not limited to a battlefield. Courage isn't just limited to driving a race car or jumping out on an airplane or catching a thief in your house. The real test of courage, it goes much deeper than that. The real test of courage is an inner test. It's remaining faithful when no one's watching. It's enduring pain when the room is empty. It's continuing on when you're standing alone. Courage takes a path. It takes a direction that most people won't walk down. Courage is often a silent story, but I'm just challenging you. Will you be a person of courage? Will you be one of those people who are different and makes a difference in this world because they walk in courage? Courage shows up when you least expect it. You don't wake up in the morning and go, I'm going to be courageous today. Courage shows up when the path turns. Courage shows up when difficulty shows up. Courage shows up when no one is watching. Courage shows up in the silent portions of the story. That's when courage shows up. There was a man several years ago, I heard about his story. His name is Chris Spielman. I'm a football follower. He was signed with the Buffalo Bills, and he was a passionate player and a great player with the Buffalo Bills. And although he was signed to a long-term contract, he found out that his wife had cancer and that it was going to keep him on the road during her treatment. And he chose that he was going to walk away from a contract with the NFL to be with his wife during her cancer treatment. That takes courage. It takes courage to be a man and walk a different path and do something that's different from everybody else. Courage is cultivated when you hear the voice of God, when you know what God's plan is in your life and you choose to do that, that you're going to follow regardless of rejection, regardless of threat, regardless of anybody around you, that you are simply going to follow God's plan for your life. That takes courage. And the consequences of your courage, you may not know in your lifetime. You may not know in this world. Joseph probably didn't know in his lifetime what the difference that he made in this world. But let me just tell you, Joseph is a part of the most amazing story ever. And so today, I'm going to challenge you. You may not know what a difference your courage is going to make, but somebody's watching. Somebody's paying attention. Somebody needs your story of courage. Somebody needs to know that there's somebody who's walking down the road in front of them that they can learn from, that they can see that they did the right thing even when everything was wrong. I'm going to challenge you. Follow God. Follow God. I'm praying that God will raise up men of courage here. I'm praying that God will raise up women of courage here. I'm praying that God will raise up young people of courage. We need them in this generation. Let the life of Joseph be an inspiration to you in this holiday season as you're preparing your heart for Christmas. Do the right stuff. If somebody's hurt you, love anyway. If it seems like that it's going to be difficult for you to follow God and party with your friends, honestly, like, and be around that group of friends, you might have to take a different path. Be of courage. Do the right stuff. And as you do this, listen, God will show up. And when he shows up, you'll have no idea what God can do for you in your future. I want to pray for you in these next few moments. Dear Heavenly Father, there are people here today that they're walking in difficult circumstances, or maybe they have decisions that they have to make, and it just feels like everyday life. But yet I'm asking you, dear Lord, that your Spirit will speak to them and tell them to be of courage, not to be afraid, not to be afraid to follow your plan. And dear Lord, that they'll just simply, quietly, and silently do the right things. They have no idea what a difference that will make, but I know you do. And so will you give them the assurance that courage counts. Lord, in the name of Jesus, fill our hearts with your courage. And Lord, maybe there's somebody here today that needs to have the courage to accept you as Lord and Savior, to say yes to you, to follow you, to turn their life over to you for the first time, or maybe come back to you after a long time. And so, Lord, will you give them the courage to say yes today? Every head bowed and every eye closed, will you just repeat this prayer after me? Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus I acknowledge that Jesus is your Son, that he came to this earth, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, and rose again so that I could have a new life. Today, I receive Christ as my Savior. I receive his love. Lord, anything that separates me from you, I lay it down at the cross. And now I take courage to follow you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're just in this room and you just prayed that prayer, and really that prayer was for you, and you needed to pray that prayer and say yes to him, take a new path, a new plan, prepare a way of the Lord. If you need to pray that prayer today and say yes to him, just so I can pray for you in the days ahead, will you just raise your hand so I can pray for you in the days ahead? Yes, 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 amen, yes, I see it. Yes, I see it, the Lord sees it, yes, amen, amen. Maybe once you followed God and you needed to say yes, you've been away from him and I needed to say yes today, yeah. Just raise your hand so I can pray for you in the days ahead, yes. Yes, I see it. The Lord sees that. Amen. Amen. Now, Lord, I'm asking you that you'll seal this work by your Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, raise up people of courage here. Courage to do the right stuff when no one's watching. Raise up people of courage that even in the silence, that they'll live courageously for you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a song, and we're going to close out with this song today. And we learned this song just a few months ago. And I love this song. It's a favorite for my, when we were doing the series on The Verge, I think I just closed up your words, didn't I? When we were learning the series, doing the series a few months ago on The Verge, it was like, Lord, you're going to take me into new places. Take me to the verge of the life that you have for me. And this song says, you make me brave. Come on, let's stand together because he makes us brave.